Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears with you here on a getaway Friday, October the 8th, 2021, 14 and a half minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio Time. And we thank the magnificent Marla Gibbs for being on in hour number one, 90 years old this past summer and still out there working. Now, this hour, we're going to spend trying to clarify some things, because the purpose of this station is always to educate, entertain, and inform. That's why we are here. And there's an issue going on that we have been covering here in the city of Marion regarding the city auditor and the reconciling of the books and where the city will go from here. We've been on this story for quite some time now. There have been a lot of changes and updates in this story in the last 24 to 48 hours, and really since Monday night's city council meeting. Now, there were some things that went down Monday night at the city council meeting. There have been statements released this week. There have been responses, and it all culminated with a Marion Star article in which I believe Robert Landon did give an interview after many, many weeks to the Marion Star. It looks like there was an interview given. I don't know for sure, but I think there was because some information was given. And again, Robert Landon is free to come on this show anytime he would like. We have asked and requested, and the door is always open for that. So this hour, we're going to try to sort this out so everybody is on the same page. Because the information that has come out looks to be ever-changing. And we want to have the correct information. Simple as that. So that's what we're going to do here as soon as our guest is available. And that's the way it will go. Remember, you can always check out WWGH Radio on the web at WWGH1071.com, or you can download the free TuneIn app and search WWGH. Now, again, we're going to give you the story as we will hear it. And we're going to get it from somebody who's been there through a lot of this. And again, it's just information. Now, next hour, we have a great guest as well, by the way. Did anybody hear the story of the rights to Bozo the Clown being sold to David Arquette? Well, one of our favorite guests over the years has been Joey DiOria, who was WGN's Bozo from, I believe, 1984 through 2001, probably the most widely known Bozo in the history of the Bozo franchise. And we're going to talk to Joey DiOria coming up in the 10 o'clock hour and get his feelings on what has went on, what has went down with Bozo in the last week. This has been the most movement there's been on the Bozo character, and I don't know how long. Apparently, Larry Harmon Pictures, which has owned Bozo for many, many years, has sold the rights to David Arquette. And David Arquette, if you know who he is, he's kind of the, and people call him crazy. Again, one of those situations where people call somebody crazy, and it's more of an endearing term. he's crazy, but a lot of people like David Arquette. He does crazy things. He was a pro wrestler for a while, but we'll do that at 10:15 this morning and get back to local news here on WWGH Radio. Now, before we bring our guest on, in the objectivity of fairness, we're going to try to take this in steps, because it's important for you, the audience, in case you have not seen it, to know what has happened. Now, on October 6th, the office of Robert Landon released a statement to many media outlets, including us, and I want to read really the first two paragraphs of this. There are only three paragraphs, but I want to read the first two because I think it's important that the audience knows what was said in this press release, dated October the 6th, 2021. Contrary to the information and statements that have been made concerning the responsibilities of my office, I wanted to take the opportunity to, in fact, let you know what exactly the truth is, not the false statements some have made. My office has met our deadline that is required for us to maintain our books. The report we submitted is referred to as the annual information filing. This was completed in a timely manner. Further, my office has submitted all information to the state auditor in reference to the reconciliation of our finances. Now, that is the first two paragraphs of the statement made by Robert Landon, the press release sent out on October the 6th. Since then, an interview was given to the Marion Star, and we're going to go through that this morning with our guest, somebody who knows something about this. He is an at-large city councilman. I've known him for a long time. Been a long time since he's been on the show, but we're so glad to have him back. City councilman at large, independent city councilman at large, Josh Daniels. Josh, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, Scott. How are you this morning?
Doing good. I want to start in the beginning, so we give our audience a true depiction how this all happened, and wrap up with the article in the Star today. Monday night, Jason Schauber, one of the Finance Committee members, and one of the people who was on the investigation team into Robert Landon's conduct, put a post on Facebook saying that it was a very lively city council meeting. Kai Mead came on Tuesday and explained that this involved you and somebody from the auditor's office. So we don't get it wrong. What happened Monday night?
Well, Scott, I'm the chairman of the Finance Committee, and that is the meeting that was in session at the time. I suppose you could call it a brouhaha. But it was between myself and Kim Hutchinson. The bottom line is I would say this publicly to Mr. Landon. You know, and I've stayed generally quiet about this. I've tried to develop some understanding as to what's going on in the auditor's office. Bottom line, when someone's learning in office, or you give them a little bit of latitude. But we've been at this a year and a half, and when you try to illustrate the right ways of doing stuff, a filing, you've got someone who absolutely doesn't want to learn, or is incapable of learning, which is the conclusion that I might have come to with the auditor's office. This erupted in all of those frustrations erupted in the Finance Committee. My view of the meeting was that his deputy auditor, Kim Hutchinson, came to our meeting, and she's done this lately a couple times, maybe before, once before, something along this line. And the sole intent was to come up and throw, you know, politically speaking, we call them, you know, throwing fire bombs and making a mess. She had some dispersions about the mayor's office and the law director's office, which apparently Bob or Robert Landon, Mr. Landon, you know, has a beef with. They've gone back and forth here. So my viewpoint is that our financial matters were being tied up with more of this mudslinging. And I let her know that. She came up and began to accuse one department of hiring its friends and family. And I looked at her and I said, well, Kim, that sound, you know, there's a lot of that goes on in your office, too. I said, I've never been an advocate of hiring my friends and family. I'm interested, even when I was a commissioner, in hiring qualified people those will service you far better than, you know, the guy you, you know, go to school with or, you know, et cetera. You need to hire qualified people to particularly do the jobs that are going on in the auditor's office. You don't hire your friends. And I made this comment to her. I said, you know, for you to bring that up here in the middle of this out of context, it's like the, you know, pot calling the kettle by, you know, the same color. You're doing it too. And, you know, she became offended and, well, how is that? I think she said. And I said, well, you are the sister of the former candidate that ran with Robert Landon. He's the candidate for mayor, which is Kevin Norris. And now you're his, you know, sister as deputy director or deputy auditor in this case. So, that goes on a lot. I don't like it. I have yet to find out a way to prevent it, but I've never done it. And that was the basis of that argument.
Thank you for clarifying that. So we go from Monday, and it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, I was not at that meeting, that Deputy Auditor Martin Watts, who has pretty much been the spokesman during this entire ordeal over the last month, was there and was asked by City Council, are the books ready to go? Are they done? Have they been submitted? Things of this nature. And his answers were no. Is that correct on Monday night?
I believe I remember that being said, yes.
So I think that we all got confused then on October the 6th when the statement came from Robert Landon's office via a press release that pretty much everything was fine. I just read it, you know, moments ago. You heard it. When that press release came out, what'd you make of it?
It's more blame shifting and more deflection. And, you know, I made this analogy at the last meeting. I said, the auditor's office is much like a mental merry-go-round. You're just continually confused. And that is by design from Mr. Landon. I believe that he, whoever his political advisor is, has told him the more confused this issue is, we can break it down by then partisan, and, you know, one side will say for partisan reasons this is a lie, et cetera, everyone's confused, so then they vote the party line. There are real problems going on in that auditor's office, and there's a severe leadership problem, and that being with the auditor himself.
In the website, Crawford County Now, you released a statement. I believe it was right after this press release came out. And a lot was made of this statement. It was shared on social media quite a bit and got a lot of attention, to say the least. And what it said was, it quoted you, in reference to Mr. Landon's press release of October the 6th, you were quoted as saying, he's jerking on the heartstrings of the community for all it's worth. There's a special place in hell for the Pharisees and this guy. If that oxygen tank can go to church, it can come to the office. I hope the community does not continue to fall for it. Heavy words, Josh.
They were heavy words, and they were truthful words. I'm a Christian also, but I don't use my faith to be reelected. Back 1700s, when our Constitution, you know, the idea of the division of religion and politics came up, this wasn't to divorce our morality from our actions in government. It's my belief that our founding fathers put this in for the preservation of religion, for the preservation of our ability to worship God. The Soviet Union did not have that option. Government stomped out organized religion. They do it in China. These are countries that do not enjoy the freedoms that we have here. So the idea that Mr. Landon, not that he would go to church, that's perfectly, there's nothing, you know, wrong with that at all. I would encourage people to exercise their faith any way they want. But when you go and you sit in the church house with your oxygen tank and you film yourself and then put it on social media, I have to begin to wonder, you know, bottom line is, man, you had COVID a while ago, and you know, I'm not a physician, but if you can, you know, give testament, you know, in a church house, why can't you come to work? Well, there's a reason you can't come to work, because if you're not in a council meeting, you can't answer questions about your malignancy in your office. And you also jerk at the heartstrings of everyone in the community, and I've heard him do that for now a year and a half, 2 years. He has continually played the victim. It is in his personality to do so. This is how he's navigated his life, apparently. And playing the victim and working on people's emotional heartstrings is causing this city, it's starting to cause us some suffering, some real visible suffering. And I can give you a story. You know, the man you see in the media and on Facebook is not the man that people deal with up at City Hall. I am the finance chair, as I've said before. And part of that job is to be the conduit between the administration, the auditor's office, and the city council's finance committee. So generally, when something goes wrong, I'm the person that someone sends a letter to, someone calls, hey, can you straighten this out? This is what's going on. You know, I recently received a bill from the Ohio Public Works Commission, and it was invoiced July 1st of 2021. Was a payment of $75,397, if my memory serves me correct. This had been past due for 90 days. And this is how the city discovered this. The assistant engineer, who is Scott Bishop, couldn't make a payment. His contractor on South Grand couldn't receive payment because the city was delinquent in its loan payments for the projects that it's borrowed money on for the past 30 years. Now, these are interest-free loans, and this is one of the reasons the city uses this program. The program gives out grants or interest-free loans, and that has a present-day value of quite a bit if you can get money at 0% interest. But you've got to make your payments, and you can't make them 3 months late and continue to have good credibility with an organization that funds all of our streets and sewer projects, or virtually all of them. So the OPWC has a rule that if you're in delinquency, they will not make any further drawdowns on loans that you've now currently got. So there's a contractor that wasn't paid. I knew this from digging into it further. And the bottom line is because our auditor did not make this payment and then finally did as of the 29th of September, or didn't, we're still wondering whether it's been paid. He says it has. OPWC and other sources says it hasn't. Maybe it's in the mail. Who's to say? But the contractor isn't being paid. That is not how you build credibility with the people that do our work. You don't do that. Well, long story short, what has then happened is I went to his office, as I normally would do. And I said, has this been paid? And Martin Watts gave me a report sheet that said it has. Now, taxpayers deserve to know what their auditor's doing or not doing. I published this. I said, hey, folks, if you want to know who pays the city's bills, it's the city auditor, Robert Landon. If you want to know who didn't pay this bill, ask your city auditor, Robert Landon. Mr. Landon has recently, as of yesterday, accused me of stealing this document. Of stealing the document, stealing his mail, somehow making my way into his locked office, and stealing his mail. So the police department had to spend the better part of yesterday and the morning of today wondering what happened. Well, here's the real story. Our assistant engineer discovered he couldn't make a drawdown on the account, called OPWC. The supervisor of OPWC informed them, you haven't made your loan payment on what we've loaned you before, so you've got to be current your bills. That is how it came to me that this bill hadn't been paid. But Mr. Landon decides someone now has hacked his email and stole his mail, and I'm not sure if he's paranoid or and he honestly believes this or if this is just more of that confusing information merry-go-round. But I expect an absolute apology from his office And we're going to get to the bottom of this incompetence one way or the other. And it is incompetence. And yes, those are tough words. I'm sorry, but if you know me, you know I'm a straight shooter, and I'm going to tell you the way it is, whether it offends your sensibilities or not.
And Josh, and that's why I think it's important at this point to go through, I've picked 4 points out of the Marian Star article. I'm not sure if it'll be in the hard copy today because I'm not sure exactly how that works with the Star right now, but it'll either be today or tomorrow, and people can read it online. It is up online. Now, this is confusing because a month ago, there was a meeting in which a city council meeting, a special city council meeting, all about the city's books not being reconciled, how somewhere in the neighborhood of $2.5 million in federal grant money could be in danger of being lost, that would go to Marion Area Transit, the senior center, fire and police officers. The mayor at that time was called to a meeting with the state audit gap team in which he was told that the books for 2020 were not reconciled. So that's what we all have believed to this point. And we have invited Mr. Landon on this show and will continue to do so. He has not appeared. We've also sent emails to Martin Watts. But here's what the Star says today. And as near as I can tell, the only person who was talked to in this article was Martin Watts. Now, maybe it's somebody else, but the way I read it, or Robert Landon, excuse me. But as near as I can read it, that's who was talked to. So here's the statements, and I just want you to respond to this, Josh, that the deadline for the federal grant clearinghouse was met a week before its deadline. So the $2.5 million is not at risk of being lost, and the city's bond rating will be fine. Do you know anything of this, being the chair of the finance committee?
Yeah, it's absolutely two unrelated subjects. The federal grant clearinghouse is how our bond rating agencies give us the ability to borrow by creating a rating. There's Moody's, there's Standard & Poor's. They're much like what a residential customer, not residential, what the average person, the consumer, would see in their credit report. It's dictated in a consumer credit report as a score. It's a letter grade for municipalities and done by different agencies, again, Standard & Poor's or Moody's. The federal grant clearinghouse collects the information. They then transfer this over to the rating agencies, who then accumulate it. There's sometimes an interview that's involved with the city about its potential ability to increase or, you know, to have increased tax revenue. That doesn't mean you're raising taxes, but in other words, is the economy growing? That's weighed in. So there's a number of factors that they take into account. The deadline that was September 30th was with that agency. The much, much more important deadline is the actual audit for 2020. The state takes the city's numbers for each year. Those are to be reconciled. I believe it's before March of the following year. So 2020 has a deadline of having its records reconciled and submitted to the state, the audit certified, etc. I believe by March, I can't remember the date, but the bottom line is that unless you have a set of audited books that from a third party in this state, in this case, the state of Ohio, or it can be, you know, an outside accounting firm, you become ineligible for federal grants that come to your community. Our community has a weighted, you know, average income of about $39,000 on average per two-family earner, and that sets us almost at the very bottom of the economic tier when it comes to the federal government's rating of CDBG funds, low to moderate income, and all of those things that the federal government focuses on, we qualify for. If we've got a set of books that actually show we're not misappropriating the money, which in this case would include federal money. The feds don't want to give a city money that they don't have a record of, or, you know, that they can't prove was spent accurately. That is the second report, which still hasn't been done. And the reason it hasn't been done is that the auditor's office hasn't done it. It's late. They've asked for 3 extensions to get it done. And finally, the state said no more extensions because the auditor doesn't have the information needed to actually provide the state to get a certified audit. They have to now use guesstimates and estimates to sort of come around, derive at what the city's financial position is, because the information's not there.
Okay, Josh, now this draws into our second statement that is made in this article, and then we're going to go back to the first, because I really want the listening audience to understand this. In the article, it is said that by Auditor Landon that the books for reconciliation have been submitted to the state. The state is backlogged because of COVID. That's why they don't have an answer yet, the city of Marion. What do you make of that statement? And then I want to ask you something in regard to that with the first statement. So the books have been sent? He says yes. They just haven't been looked at by the state because of a backlog of COVID. Do you know that to be true?
I'll just say that there's been a whole lot of, let's say a whole lot of things blamed on COVID. That is just a trend that we have seen here lately. Oh, it's COVID that did it. You know what? The bottom line is it should have been done months ago. The information should have been compiled at the end of 2020. We are now in October of 2021 with no audit for 2020. He can blame whoever it is that he chooses to blame. And we, as a finance committee and a council, will be more than happy to participate with whatever he would ask for, to get the office in operating form. But what we have is a leader who is untenable. You cannot work with this gentleman. I don't think he knows the ins and outs of his job from day one.
Well,
and that is causing us pain. Contractors that can't be paid promptly. Let me ask you, if you submitted a bill, in this case it was $125,000, to a municipality for work that you had done, that the municipality had inspected, it submitted its paperwork to OPWC, which was to write the check on the city's behalf. The city pays its portion, OPWC pays the other. But then you don't get half your money because of nothing you did. It was because someone couldn't take one invoice, put a check in it, put a stamp on it, and send it over to Mansfield or wherever OPWC's actual mailing address is now. It was in Mansfield at one time. That's a problem. Because in the future, if you're that contractor, you're thinking, wow, because you're bidding on other work for other municipalities and other counties and the state, et cetera. You're that kind of contractor, excavation, et cetera. You're going to say, you don't know if you're going to get your city money from the city of Marion, so you're either going to not bid on the next project or you're going to raise your bid because you realize there's a risk of having a delay in your payment. So either way, it costs us credibility and it costs us money.
Well, this is the question that ties back into question number one. I believe Auditor Landon is saying in this article that the books have been submitted to the state. They're waiting to hear back from the state about the outcome of that. Now, that being said, I believe you had just said that until those books are done, you can't submit the document for the federal money that would keep this somewhere in the neighborhood of $2.5 million coming, Marion Area Transit, Senior Center, Fire and Police. So how can that be safe if the books have not come back from the state yet?
One way or the other, we have to attempt to come up with a set of audited books that the federal government will accept. And at this stage in the game, from the last information I was given, the city didn't even, and hopefully they have gone back and been able to ascertain that. And we had that lengthy discussion 2 weeks ago as to how to go back and find out information from the computer server that dumped it within 90 days. So I see you've got to work into it backwards, and hopefully they were able to do that. Whether they have submitted it to the state or not, there's been no report of that given to us. I do know that if it has or hasn't, the state has not given us an answer back in that audit. I would definitely pay attention to a, one, accepted audit, and two, to know that, yes, we could go forward and apply for federal grants, which in the grant package, they're going to ask, we'd like to see your audited books. We'd like to see your last audit. That's a part of our process for awarding you this grant. And I hope in the future this doesn't, you know, cause us federal grant problems in 2022, 2023, et cetera.
The next point that was made in this article is that on March 15th, I believe is the date that was given, it's in March, that council did not approve a contract. It is March 15th, I just looked. The council did not approve a contract on March 15th with an accounting firm that could have avoided this whole problem and everything would have been fine. There would have been no need for extensions.
Again, it's council's fault. It's COVID's fault. It's the state's fault. It's OPWC's fault. It's everyone else's fault but Mr. Landon's. Go back to what I said a few minutes ago. I said Mr. Landon had applied for three extensions. Why did he apply for these three extensions with our audit with the state? Because he didn't have the information compiled correctly. They could not do the audit. And I speculate that if the state can't do the audit because they didn't have the information, which was the only thing holding them up, not COVID, not a backlog from COVID, then the private contractor he was attempting to get us to go with would have had the same issue, or at least I would have hoped they would have had the same issue. I would hope that they wouldn't create an audit with the lack of information. But no, council emphatically, with what's been going on in the auditor's office and the amount of credibility that comes out of there, absolutely not. They were not doing that. And I can furthermore go on to say that at our last meeting Monday in the Finance Committee, there was a $4.5 million appropriation that left us all scratching our head as to why the auditor was asking for it. No one voted for that. Didn't matter what party they were from. The Finance Committee's made up of three different, well, one independent, a Democrat and Republican. Wasn't a partisan issue. We didn't have the faith in what he was asking us to do. So truthfully, I think myself and a lot of others have absolutely lost faith in this auditor.
The fourth point in this article, Mr. Landon with the Star, wraps up by saying a lot of the problem here was that he was short-staffed and that city council was conducting investigations and that slowed this process down.
Again, it must be city council's fault. We're doing it all wrong, according to him, apparently. Oddly, we never had these issues, and not to defend Ms. Carr, but we didn't have these issues the whole time I've been on council, which has been now 10 years. Now, either they were able to fix them internally before they became a major outright disaster, or, you know, I've got a bad memory, maybe.
So I guess at this point, in the past, has the auditor let the Finance Committee know when things were sent to the state, if there was an extension needed? I don't know if there ever was an extension needed before.
I can't say I have no recollection of my whole time on the Finance Committee. I can't remember the auditor ever coming in and saying, we'd like to report we asked for an extension from the state. Now, they might have, but that's not something that they generally reported.
So I guess at this point, Josh, when Auditor Landon says in this press release and also apparently to the Star, that the books have been submitted to the state and they're just waiting to hear back and the state is backlogged due to COVID, that we really don't know if that's true or false because nobody said anything to council.
I'll be honest, at this stage, and this was not always the way it was. All right, Mr. Landon used to call me on the phone and ask for advice. He would never take any of it at all. You know, my biggest thing to him was be transparent if it's a problem, allow everyone to know how you're going to fix it, be definitive, get it behind you, and stop doing it. That was months ago. He continually does this. This is a gentleman who just filed a police report alleging that the finance chairman stole his mail. This isn't conjecture or political yarn spinning. It's an actual police report that you can read. You can read the emails that were attached with it. As the Finance Committee, I'm entitled to everything, and so is the public, that comes through his office because it's a public record. His mail is not his personal mail. it is a public record. You don't have to steal his mail to read it. You can walk into his office, hand a Freedom of Information Act form down, and say, I would like these documents. And by law, they will be given to you. There are exceptions such as redactions of Social Security numbers when it involves people, etc. But they have to, by law, give it to you. And if they don't do so in a timely manner, they can have a mandamus action filed against them in common pleas court.
Now, you said Martin Watts gave you this document when you requested it. Why do you believe this police report was filed if nothing was taken?
Because another one more of a litany of mistakes has been uncovered from the auditor's office. My guess is that Mr. Landon was furious and decided this was his method of retaliation. Except it is my preliminary belief that Mr. Landon may have broken the law. You cannot coerce, intimidate, or otherwise threaten the ill of action or force against a sitting elected official. My intent was, or my perception of this, is Mr. Landon filed this police report to say, if you look into my laundry, I'm going to cause you problems. That is illegal. That is illegal.
So you are saying right now, and this I believe is the first time anybody's heard this in the media, that the auditor, by calling the police department on an elected official yourself, has committed an illegal act.
If I indeed had stole his mail, that would have been a different story, but that was not the intent. He's got a locked office. I never walk into City Hall. Most of my work is done either at committee, which is at 7:30 on the third floor of council. All the offices are locked. It was a ridiculous accusation. He cannot be simple enough to think that I had stole his mail. And particularly when by the end of the day, they would have known that you can find out this, and you can go to OPWC, the Ohio Public Works Commission, and you can find a copy of the invoice. You could have called right across the hall. You could have had the engineer say, well, what's the problem? I'm sure the engineer communicated this with the auditor. Why haven't you paid the bill? But to just say, I'm going to file a police report and impugn you, it's just more spin. It is a mental merry-go-round meant to confuse people.
So,
and therefore confuse their vote.
So on this action of calling the police, what was the police, is it an investigation? Was there a response from the police department? They came and visited you, obviously.
No, they gave me a call. Mr. Atkinson asked, Chris Atkinson is his name, asked one question, did you steal his mail? Because they already knew where I got the information. They knew that I got it through the legitimate channels that are set up at City Hall, and if you've been around a while, you know that is how we communicate problems with each other. You submit it to the finance chair, and he then puts it forth to the members of the finance committee, which either A, hold a hearing or not, or discuss it in the general council so that all council members can then hear it. That is how we communicate.
So at this point, I believe, as you were saying there, that this action is an illegal act because you did not steal his mail. Are you going to take any action in regard to his illegal action? Alleged illegal action, I should say.
Let me say this. I am going to discover by the letter of the law if what he had attempted to do is the intimidation of a public official. I believe personally it was, but I'm not an attorney. I will have that answer by the rest of the day. And if that meets the legal statute, Mr. Landon, you and I are headed to Columbus. Because you cannot, by force of action, I mean, goodness gracious, do we want all of our elected officials to stop looking in to bad matters, to stop looking in to, you know, malfeasance of an office because that person decides, well, I'm going to file a police report every time that you come to my office, you're going to pay for it. No, that's not the process. The process would have been, the decent thing to do would have been to come to the finance chair and say, hey, we've got a problem with the bill. I want you to know it's been paid. I want you to know it was fixed. That he did everything but that. And to be the most transparent auditor, goodness gracious, because someone, you know, displays a public record. I think he made this case when he was brought up on charges. If I remember correctly, he made the case that, well, it might have, you know, been, you know, illegal to write it and might have been incorrect, but it was my right to put it out there. It's my First Amendment right. And now he puts out a police report because someone publishes a public document? What's that sound like to you?
We've got anyone with that. Well, we got 6 minutes left here, Josh, and there are a couple things I want to ask you because I know you'll give me an honest answer here, and that's important because the people deserve that of an elected official. Should this auditor be in office? Now, he's not going to resign, I think is pretty obvious.
No, he should not be in office. And I do not say that because I say it because of this. I do not think he has the capacity or the emotional wherewithal to actually straighten the office out. It is as if he has become embattled in a bunker and will not listen to anyone except the people that apparently he is listening to, which is giving him bad advice. I think that emotionally, you know, I'm sorry. I don't expect everyone to know all the answers to every office, but I do expect there to be a learning curve, and you've got to be genuinely getting better at your job. This fellow's getting worse, and then creating excuses about why something couldn't get done. No employer, in this case the people of the city of Marion, want to hear a bunch of excuses as to why something's not getting done. Why was it getting done for 12 years, and now when we hire you, it's not getting done? They're going to look at actions and results of those actions, not the BS in the end.
Josh, it's my understanding when somebody does not resign a position, the only other ways for them to go would be through an election, which I believe his next election is 2023, or if city council would vote to send some paperwork down to Columbus that says this person is harming the city of Marion and he needs to be looked at to be removed from office. Are we at that point?
When we speak of removing an elected official, the bar for that particular offense is extraordinarily high. The process is that one legislative member can lodge a complaint with the auditor's office. The auditor of the state, finding probable cause, will then send it to the attorney general. Should those two agree that procedure should be put forth for the removal of this public official for malfeasance, then it happens. That process begins. That bar is tremendously high. There is a lot of confusion about what this gentleman does, doesn't do, who's telling the truth back and forth. It's often said amongst prosecutors, I've got the guy dead to rights, but I don't have enough evidence at this point to firmly take that step. Should that step be taken, there will be concrete and definitive evidence presented with it. And that bar being so high as it is, that is the bar the city, using that process, will have to meet. Otherwise, it will be up to the judgment of the voters in 2 years. And financially speaking, every day this goes on, it costs the city in reputation, it costs us in penalties and fines. It caught from the IRS. The last fiasco was, we've gone through that, but it costs us in reputation and it costs us in coin, for one way to put it. It is not the direction Marion should move.
Josh, I want to get these three questions in the 4 minutes we have left here. And I've never asked this in 20 years of being in Marion media, and you and I have known each other a long time, but everything that's happened this week, in your opinion, and this is an opinion, is Robert Landon mentally fit to do this job?
I couldn't say whether he's mentally fit or not. Has it crossed my mind? Yes. Anyone that would file a police report for a person, an elected official doing their job, file a police report alleging that I somehow stole his mail when legally I'm aware that I can ask for it on demand, or I can go to a website on OPWC and get it. I mean, for someone to make that type of accusation, I'm not sure what's going through his mind. I can't say for sure.
This has been going around. I mean, who knows what people have heard, and I hate to deal in rumor, but it's becoming a bigger rumor that Robert Landon wants to run for mayor. Do you believe that's what this has really been all about?
The last time, the only thing that I've heard is this, that Mr. Landon had stated to me that he wasn't sure if he wanted to be the auditor anymore, and that was part of the last conversation I had before I finally said, if you're not going to listen to good advice, there's I can't give it to you. And that was the last time I believe we spoke.
And a personal question in your direction, Josh. You're not running for re-election. A former county commissioner, a city councilman at large. Why are you leaving the elected political arena?
That decision was made at the first of the year. My wife, Danielle, and I got married 4 months before I became elected a county commissioner. And we have been married to public life for the last 15, 16 years. She wanted a break, and she deserved it. It does, if you're going to do the job correctly, you're going to answer the phone a lot. And that primarily is the reason, the number one reason why I elected not to run for city council. I wanted to give her my full attention. And I'm going to tell guys out there, don't make the mistake with your job or with whatever your hobby is or your politics. You know, when your wife says she wants your attention, listen. She deserves it. She's keeping up the home fires, and she's your backup. So my wife's exactly that. So I'm gonna move out, you know, for a while. I don't know if I'll stay out of it, or maybe I'll re-enter sometime in the future. But I'm gonna give my wife what she's asking for.
Before we part ways, Josh, just because obviously you're a frank person, Crawford County now, earlier in the week. Again, just the quote of somebody's turning in. He's jerking on the heartstrings of the community for all it's worth. There's a special place in hell for the Pharisees and this guy. If that oxygen tank can go to church, it can come to the office. I hope the community does not continue to fall for this. After the press release, after what you know about the Star article today, after the police report, what's your feeling personally on Robert Landon right now?
I don't think he's a very good guy. I really don't. If I had to imagine what he was like as a child, I would imagine he was the guy that generally set his friends up to do his dirty work and then hid and watched them do it and laughed his butt off when they got in trouble. I don't think genuinely he's a good guy. I really don't.
Josh, I hope you will let us know, and correct me if I'm wrong here as we part ways, that if this was done in a bully attempt, the police called on you, that this is an illegal act. You can't do that with an elected official. You'll know that by the end of today. And if that indeed is the case, we don't know right now, something is going to be filed against Mr. Landon. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And will you let us know when that moment happens?
Oh, absolutely.
Josh, I know you came on short notice. I know you're a working man out there. And I thank you for making the time. I really, really do.
All right, Scott. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Josh. Josh Daniels, there you go. Back with, how about this, from one to another. This truly is a magazine show. Back with Bozo the Clown in 10 minutes.
Supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address, 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number, 740-225-4499.